New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has made green energy one of the state's top priorities. What a rushed switch versus a well-thought-out transition may create can maybe be best seen in that recent failure of even just the construction of an offshore wind farm off the coast of New Jersey. Electric vehicles. That's another aspect of the move toward the elimination of traditional energy, as you like to label it. EVs, as they're called, have received major taxpayer-funded subsidies. Of course, the owners, you've been met with a shortage of charging stations, but those are small concerns. First of what my first guest is here to discuss, try this one on for size. The EV that you may be driving was most likely made possible thanks to child labor. To fill you in on that one is Senior Fellow with the Energy and Environment Legal Institute. He also heads up the Junk Science website. Steve Malloy, how are you today, Steve?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Got a website, had two websites for you, actually. Of course, they're linked at our homepage, too, eelegal.org, junkscience.com. And if you want to follow Steve on X, it's at Junk Science. So, as I said, we're going to focus on EVs, electric vehicles, and more specifically, the matter that's called cobalt. What's the role of cobalt in EVs, first of all?
Well, so cobalt is a necessary metal for the lithium-ion batteries that go into basically each EV. Most of the cobalt that is used in EV batteries comes from the Congo, from mines that are owned by communist China. The cobalt is then, mined in cobalt in Congo and shipped to China where it's processed. Now, people driving EVs think that, oh, these things are green and are saving the planet and, they're the virtue signal with them. Most people don't know, however, that this cobalt, a lot of it comes from mines in the Congo where they employ child laborers. Congo is a very poor place, and so, families to survive put their kids to work. And, when they're mining cobalt, it's not like they're on these, driving monster trucks or, monster tractors or excavators or anything like this. Cobalt is mined by these kids on an artisanal basis. They climb down, very dark and dangerous holes in the ground to sort of prospect for cobalt, much like, an old-time gold miner might. And so these kids are, very young, start maybe at 5 as soon as they can do anything. These conditions are very dirty. Of course, this is all managed by communist China. Cobalt goes, not only into EVs, but anything with a lithium-ion battery. And, so it's not really virtue signaling at all. I mean, it's just an embrace of, a very dark side of humanity on the other side of the world that most people don't know about.
And given the lack of actual solid communications, I've seen reports, and I'll consider this to be a low ball number too, as many as 40,000 kids are involved in this. And like I said, that's probably a low number too, because I'm sure a lot of these operations want to keep as much of this secret as possible.
Yeah. And so, it's hard to monitor any of this stuff because, between the Congo security and Chinese security, of course, nobody can really get in there to see anything. There are pictures of these kids mining before, the spam hit the fan with this, with the book Cobalt Red. I guess Amnesty International had snuck into the Congo and surreptitiously taken photographs. So, we know this is happening. Companies who buy the cobalt or buy the batteries with cobalt, they're trying to, sort of expunge themselves of this taint by saying, oh, well, we fund organizations that are monitoring this in the Congo and, trying to make sure that the supply chain is clean. But, of course, this is all false. They do have these organizations. They're not necessarily in the Congo. But even if they were, they have no access to any of these areas. Once again, these areas are locked down by the Congo military and the Chinese. So, this notion that the companies are making sure their supply chain is clean is just false.
Now, if you look at the statistics, 70% of the world's cobalt is being produced by the Congo, yet the, by most estimates, possess access to maybe half of the worldwide supply. So why are we going to the Congo if there's another equal share of that amount of cobalt, either in one location primarily or a series of other locations?
Well, you know, in Western countries, we don't like to mine anymore, so it's very difficult to get permits. This is especially a problem like cobalt and rare earth metals. They're harder to come by. They require strip mining or some form of, you know, really ugly mining, and we just don't want to do it. I mean, you know, even during the Trump administration, the Trump administration refused to approve a permit for a mine in Alaska, the Pebble Mine, which would have produced copper and gold and other metals. We're too good to mine anymore. So it happens in these third world, you know, S holes.
Yeah.
And the poor people there, on one hand, I mean, it's a source of revenue, but what an awful way to have to earn a living working, you know, as a slave for, you know, either the Congo or the communist Chinese.
And that's not an overuse of the word slave, $1 to $2 a day, just to don't expect the Teamsters to be setting up a union shop at one of the Congo mines anytime soon to address that issue. You know, if you look at alternatives, and again, as you mentioned, the Department of Interior just seems to want to keep blocking what could be easily accessible to defuse this situation. There's the Superior National Forest, located outside the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, that's in Minnesota, that by most estimates has about 88% of the U.S. cobalt reserves just sitting there.
If you're going to insist on having EVs, and I don't think we ought to be doing that because they really don't make any sense. They're just, you know, more expensive ways to get around. If you're going to insist on doing it, then you should insist on having a clean supply chain, and that would include not only getting these starting to produce the cobalt in mines outside the Congo, but also to process the cobalt outside of communist China, because that's not going to be especially environmentally friendly either.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking with Steve Malloy, senior fellow with the Energy and Environment Legal Institute, also heads up Junk Science, the website, eelegal.org, junkscience.com. You can follow Steve as well on X at Junk Science, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You look at the sales numbers of EVs, Steve, just from quarter four of 2018 versus quarter two of this year, try multiplying sales by four, from 1 million to just about 4 million. So they're not going anywhere. And I guess I can agree with natural resources are at some point in time going to be finite. They're going to come to an end, but just not immediately. So why the rush?
Joe Biden is just trying to, you know, jam his climate agenda as far as he can, as fast as he can, to make it permanent. You know, this whole agenda is not really about the climate. It's about controlling what we do. And, you know, it's not really like they want to move you into EVs. They just want you to get out of cars. I mean, EVs they're not working out for anybody. I mean, they're a lot more expensive, a lot less convenient. Last month, Ford lost $60,000 per EV sold. Car makers aren't making any money on this. I mean, it's just not good for anybody. And then you've got these, you know, environmental and human rights tragedies going on around the world associated with EVs. The Chinese, every time you buy an EV, you're just making us more dependent on China and financing China. You know, one of the ways that Putin was able to invade Ukraine is because for the last 25 years, you know, Europe has been outsourcing its energy to Russia, making itself more dependent on Russia, as well as enriching Russia. And, you know, as soon as the weak American president came along, then, you know, he invaded because he was, you know, wealthy enough to do that. Well, we're doing the same thing with China. All the, you know, wind turbines and solar panels and EVs, these things all depend on China. We're enriching China, we're making ourselves dependent on China, and it's just going to lead to disaster.
If you're wondering, since we're here in New Jersey ranks seventh in most recent sales of EVs. California, big surprise there. Oregon, Washington.
Yeah.
Hawaii kind of makes sense given the price of gas out there, so that might be one legitimate location to promote EVs. And you mentioned wind turbines, solar panels, and the lithium-ion batteries. Something that's still a mystery, although we're starting to learn a bit via solar panels since they've been around kind of the longest, the aftermath, because these items wear out in some way, shape, or form, and they're going to have to be disposed of. Are we looking to one day having to find a very large place like the caves in Nevada to store this stuff after it's dead?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess there are people working on trying to recycle this, but of course, you know, all that's going to take energy, create waste, which is going to have to be put someplace. Same with the wind turbines. You know, the wind turbine blades are not really recyclable. They kind of have to bury them in these mass graves. We've created all this, people are upset about, plastic in the ocean. Well, all this wind, solar, EV stuff is going to be the same kind of stuff. It's going to have to be disposed of somehow. We haven't done a lot of it yet because there's not much of it. But, you know, if we were to go, which is impossible, solar, wind, EVs, I mean, we would have an immense amount of crap to get rid of.
Which, again, brings about the question I think we all should be asking the people who are proponents of this. What is the rush? Why are you rushing without a full plan? You can learn more about this issue at the website for the Energy and Environment Legal Institute. That's eelegal.org. Steve writes about this on a obviously frequent basis, and you can check all that out at junkscience.com as well as on X at junkscience. Steve Malloy, thanks for always giving us the truth, the facts, and the science of the situation. Thanks for being here today.
All right, Chris, thank you.